When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You are listening to an exclusive on Pod Hub Network. Your city, your podcast.
To the delight of this crowd, McClendon marches down the dugout steps with first base.
McCutcheon's throw. The runner breaks to the plate. Here's the throw. Wow. He is out. The Buccos win.
That ball's hit well to left center field. Back toward the track.
You are listening to the North Shore 9 podcast. Follow them on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Also, make sure to watch NS9 Live every Thursday on Twitch and help support by becoming a patron. Let's go, Bucks!
Good morning. Welcome to Starbucks. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, as always, is my co-host, Jim Rosati. Jim, happy Tuesday. Happy day off, day after off day. And happy Castillo Day, Contreras Day. Happy Contreras Day.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. That makes it an even better day, Roncy Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yesterday
was rough.
Gotta get those names right.
Yesterday was rough because, like, no minor league games, no Pirates game. I didn't know what to do with myself.
Nothing. I watched the Padres game last night. I watched you, Darvish, mow down. It was nice, but yeah,
I got caught up on a couple. I got caught up on a couple shows that I was a little behind on.
Oh yeah, what shows were they? Curious.
Mythic Quest on Apple TV. I don't know if you've watched that. It's Rob McElhenney in it from Always Sunny.
Okay,
created it. It's a good show. It's in season two. Season two just dropped a couple weeks ago. So. Highly recommend. You would like it.
All right, I'll definitely look into that then.
Yeah, but yeah, I was catching up.
Cool. Yeah, I felt like last night was a wasted night, and I blame it on my wife. But I'm not going to take it out here live on the show. But screw her sometimes. Anyways, no, we watched Good Girls also, and we didn't watch it the night before, so we're going to watch it last night. And she decided she wanted to watch this other show, and then she wanted to go right to bed after that. And I was like, oh, okay, well, then I guess we're not watching Good Girls again. So maybe tonight, but there's a Pirates game. Anyways, yeah, no baseball yesterday. It was kind of terrible. You know, like, at least give us the minors, at least give us something. But no, like, the minor leagues are all off, too.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, with these new schedules that they have, it looks like it's going to be like that the rest of the year for the most part. No Monday games.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. There's more built-in days off this year than normal. And again, like, I totally get that. I'm fine with that. But, you know, what was cool was the fact that the minors and majors, 2 days in a row, just won. All they knew to do was win. No losses for the organization of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, undefeated Friday and Saturday. 10-0.
How about that? No, but for real, let's talk about... This past, let's start off talking about this past series, right? The Pirates played the Giants. They took that series. The good old San Francisco Giants, the first place San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, and I don't know how. I mean, I don't understand how that Giants team has won so many games.
It's kind of interesting.
They didn't really have anybody who was hitting the ball.
No.
Outside of Buster Posey. Like, Buster Posey looks like he's having a good season, but, like, no one else really is.
Right. Well, I was going to say, like, their best player last year, Yaz, was, like, tear it up, right, last year and stuff. And this year he's been terrible. He was on the IL. Yeah. Like, Brandon Belt was actually having a decent year, but he was out twice, right? Two games, I think?
I think you're right, yeah.
So, yeah, like, well, really, it's been Buster Posey who's been actually, by the way, tearing it up. And I want to say this again, because I think I might have tweeted it. But remember that time we're talking about Hall of Fame, who's pitching in the Hall of Fame? I'm not going to say I shitted on Buster Posey. But I did say, I don't know how the rest of his career is projecting. I don't believe in Buster Posey anymore. And that's why I'm not totally sure he's a shoo-in. And he's proven me absolutely incorrect. Not only is he looking like he's still progressing, he is the best catcher in baseball right now. Like, JT Realmuto, out of the way. Remember me? My name's Buster Posey. He looks unbelievable, Jim.
Yeah, I think if I recall that conversation, I think I was the only one who said
it. I should not have brought it up. You probably forgot about Buster that conversation.
Posey. I'm pretty sure I said I was the only one who thought Buster Posey was a Hall of Famer. I think I even said that he could just stop playing and he could be a Hall of Famer. But yeah. This season's been great.
Well, yeah, he's. I firmly believe. I mean, it's still short, but he might get these the rolling numbers as well as that 10-year span now. So good for him. Good for him. I'm happy for him. But yeah, so right, the Giants. I mean, is it more or less like the default of that the Dodgers and Padres just haven't been playing so well, I guess?
I don't know what it is. I mean, because you look at the Dodgers and the Padres and they're still playing well, right? It's not like they're not playing poorly. They're not like on a whole other level like we thought they would be, like especially the Dodgers, right? Like we figured that it would be like the Dodgers and then everybody else and then the rest of the teams, right? But that's not been the case. And I don't know if it must just be like they've played the right teams too.
Scheduling.
I mean, looking at their, someone pointed out on Twitter actually that they're the only first place team. And it looks like the Mets have it too, but the Giants have a losing record on the road, but they're kind of dominating at home right now. 14-4 at home, 11-12 on the road. So, something about their ballpark is helping them out.
It sucks.
They've played really well at home. But yeah, no, it was weird though, because like just watching them the whole weekend, it was like, where are these wins coming from? It felt like, you know, now I will say this, like we heard going into the series, like one of the things that they talked about in the broadcast was like, this team's really good defensively. And oh my, they were good defensively. Like they won that third game because of their defense. Like,
yeah,
that was it. But they were very good defensively, really throughout the series, just all around solid. You know, Mauricio Dubon played amazing at second base all three games. You know, stole some hits. It was kind of that one play he made in shallow right field. It wasn't even shallow right field. It was like straightaway right field. He went so far back. It was one of the better plays I've seen him make a second baseman ever make. So he looked really good.
But no, you're saying Adam Frazier couldn't make that play.
Adam Frazier could not have made that.
Come
play.
On, Jim.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just like looking up and down the lineup, and no one's hitting the ball really, except for Posey. The pitching isn't even like excellent by any means. It's like right. Okay, and the bullpen looked just complete garbage. So I'm a little surprised that they are still leading the league in wins, the National League. But it was a good series for the Pirates. Pirates took but they split, right? So it was a 4-game series, took 2-4. Pirates looked good, right. Had some good.
I forgot.
Yeah, had game. Some.
I'm just so used to Thursdays being off days anymore, too. You talk about Monday. It's like every NS9 Live we've had this year, it's like, well, there was no game today, but yeah, you're right.
Right.
So it was a split.
Yeah, so good pitching from the Pirates for the most part during the season, during the series. There was even a couple. There was one game really where they hit the ball. They had an exciting walk off too, right? So we can kind of talk about that a little bit.
Right.
But that was a nice series. It was a good weekend. It was at least good baseball to watch, I felt like.
And I got to say, I mean, we've been saying this, I feel like, throughout, and it's held true so far. I mean, the Pirates are a bad team. And there's definitely some clunkers they've put up, which it seems like it's only the Reds. Like, when they play the Reds, just turn off the TV. Like, that's your night to watch and catch up on your series, Jim. Just go ahead because the Pirates will lose 14-0. But it seems like outside of the Reds, like, even on the losses, they've always been competitive for, a bad team. I'm not saying, it's great baseball. It's still bad baseball for the most part. But it's been competitive. It's been watchable. There's definitely storylines, within the game. There's reasons to watch for other stuff as well. But, and the other thing I will say about this team, and, I don't, you could wonder maybe, I guess there's a stigma out there, like for Adam Frazier, right? He collects all his hits in garbage time, right? And there's maybe something to be true to that. But what I also say, what I find to be true, is this team truly does never give up. You might just say that it's garbage time and people are trying to pad their stats, whatever. Whatevs. I truly, this team, to say it bad, the battling buckos, this team truly battles throughout the entire game. For as bad as they are, there's been plenty of times. How many times have they been down, 3-4 runs, they come back and, lose by one, right? It truly does. And I guess I put that probably more on Shelton. We've definitely given our negatives about Derek Shelton more last year than this year, right? There's definitely been some improvement. There's been things we've liked more this year than last year. But I will say that's something, too. I guess I got to put that on Shelton's, shoulders also, that this team really doesn't give up. I mean, they fight through. And I like that, especially for a young team. It's, if you're trying to set a tone, right, a culture for the team. And that's one thing that Ben Cherington, I find, talks a lot about, the culture. That's something you want to see. So I do at least appreciate that for a bad team.
Yeah, no, I agree. Last year, right, the team was almost unwatchable because they did give up, right?
Yeah.
Like, that team gave up halfway through the year. And the second half of that 60-game season was not very enjoyable. There were not too many good moments there.
No.
But this team, this team's not going to light the stat sheet up, especially offensively. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what their approach is. Their players just,
To be fair too, a lot of that also, yeah. I mean, there's definitely been injuries. There's been this DFA carousel. Yeah. It just seems like half the team is adequate and the other half is just, they're not worthy on any club.
Yeah. I mean, I think the main problem with this team is just the complete utter lack of power.
Right.
It just doesn't exist at all. Home runs are an all-time high in baseball, yet this Pirates team looks like a team from the early 90s, where they're just kind of slapping the ball around, putting the ball in play, trying to make stuff happen. And it works sometimes, right? Like when we're getting good pitching performances, it works just fine. When the starting pitching and the bullpen is off, it's not getting the job done. They're not winning too many games. 8-6. They did win an 8-6 game on Saturday night, but that was a rarity. We haven't seen too many 8-6 type wins.
It's also seemed like the two run is that threshold. If the Pirates can score more than two runs, there's a chance, but the likelihood of scoring more than two runs is almost just not going to happen. We had that week, which of course was the week that they played the Reds, also where they didn't score more than two runs the whole week. So you're absolutely right. And that is one thing to say too about this team. I mean, the pitching has been strong. for the sense of Pirates. We mentioned in the season that the bullpen probably was going to be a strength of the team. For a bad team, weren't saying that the bullpen was going to be good. So far, to be honest, the bullpen's been pretty adequate, but the starting pitching has been such a surprise to me also. Like, the starting pitching has held up rather well. So, they are keeping the team into the games. So that way, when they only have two runs, they are losing just, 3-2 or 4-2. And again, like we talk about, like, at least in the losses, they're competitive. But you're not going to win many games with this offense, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, pitching-wise, they've basically been league average. Starters have been pretty much league average. Relievers have been, especially lately, about league average. But the offense just isn't getting the job done. So that's where the losses are coming from. But yeah, so pitching-wise, I mean, I think the pitching rotation is kind of being anchored by Anderson and Brubaker, and then Keller every other start, right? Which
right.
I don't know if we want to talk about Keller, but
no, we
he
will.
Looked good again.
Yeah,
he's just it's this Jekyll and Hyde thing with him. I don't get it,
and I don't either. And honestly, like, it's true. I think it's more of a joke, but the joke has become true. It seems like as if it's every other start. He's literally bad, good. And we joke this upcoming start that, well, he will be good. And guess what, Jim? He was good. So I'm going to tell you right now, his next start is going to be bad. And next week when we're on, Starbucks, we're going to talk about Mitch Keller and his terrible start and what did he do to improve and blah, 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 blah. But why is this? I don't get it. How can he be such an anomaly? How is he so terrible one start and then the next he looks completely different? And he was very fastball heavy again this last start. He looked good. He was striking people out. I mean, he looked like a good pitcher.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. And it really is. It's an every other start thing. I mean, he has gone less than four innings every other start, and then he goes five or more in every other start. So, like, it's... It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense. He really needs to find some consistency because, like, when he's on, he's on. Like, he looked good on Sunday. If it weren't for that last home run he gave up, right? I mean, we would have been looking at even a better line. I mean, the box score now kind of looks like a normal start, but I mean, he got the job done.
Mm-hmm.
Eight strikeouts in five innings.
That was a bit. I mean, yeah. Let's talk about that moment too. When there was two guys on, right? Guy on second and guy on third with no outs.
That's what it was. It wasn't a home run. Yeah, he just came out with guys on base. Yeah,
and I just got. I mean, of course, the broadcast was talking that moment up and stuff, but it's warranted. It is absolutely warranted because that was the moment. That's what I'm not going to say define Mitch Keller, but that was a moment for Mitch Keller. Like, that was the biggest moment, I think, in 2021 for him. He could have easily collapsed. We talk about his mentality, right? It's not confirmed. That's just what our belief is. Like, he just doesn't have this mentality, like this bulldog mentality. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to kick your ass, right? And there was two guys on, no outs. Simply a base hit scores probably two runs. He could have folded. He could have tucked the tail between the legs and folded there. And not only did he get out of that, he struck out the next three batters. Three strikeouts, inning over, huge moment for Mitch Keller. And I felt like if you want to talk about a confidence builder, although we don't know what's going to happen in him because it sounds like the next start's going to be bad because it just is what it is. But like that was it. That was huge for Mitch Keller.
I agree. And actually, it's just to kind of give you an idea, like, I was watching the game. He walks Evan Longoria and then Brandon Crawford doubles. Mm-hmm. So it's second and third, nobody out. At this point, it was a 1-0 game, right, in the fourth inning. And this is when I just go, all right, here we go again. Keller's about to lose it, right? And I actually got up from the couch and went and did something for like 10 minutes. I was that confident. Confident that it was just going to go poorly that I was like, I don't even need to watch this right now. So, and then I get back like 10 minutes later and it's still 1-0. And I'm like, hold on, what happened? I pull up pull up my app on the phone, I pull up at bat, and I'm like, strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. I was like, holy crap. So, that's awesome. I wish I could have actually seen it. I wish I would have stuck around and not
gone. Stupid fool.
I forget what I was even doing.
How do you not have any confidence in Mitch Keller in these 2021 Pirates, Jim? Come on. You and your 54 pace win predictions over here.
I don't know how Mitch Keller cannot instill a ton of confidence in me right now, but yeah, he didn't. But no, so that was good to see. So I would have loved to have watched it, you know, but yeah, it sounds like it went well.
But you're absolutely right. Like if you came back from that, if you were Jim and you came back and you saw that, I would only assume that like something wonky happened. Like they try to bunt a guy, you know, somehow, you know, maybe Mitch Keller got the guy out at home. Like, you know, like it wasn't strikeouts. It was just like funky play that somehow Mitch Keller escaped this. That would honestly be my thought. That they put on the suicide squeeze. I don't know. Some stupid stuff where, like, how they get out of that. What magic they did. Like, you know, holy crap, they did that. And it wasn't. It was three straight strikeouts. Like, it was Mitch Keller. Mano y mano. Let's go. Yeah. You're not going to get on base. You're not going to score. Here's my stuff. And now, granted, the last batter, which I think was the pitcher, I forget. But the last batter, that third strike, wasn't a strike at all. That was at least 2 inches outside. But he got it. It is what it is. Good for Mitch Keller. Yes, I give him tons of props for that inning right there. But I guess to move on from Mitch Keller, there's another guy who had a really nice pitching performance. Our boy, Yohei. We keep talking about this Tyone trade. We keep mentioning the Tyone trade because of the minor leagues back. And because of all the products of that Tyone trade that's performing well in the minors. And I feel like, I'm not going to say the prize possession, but like the headliner at the time of the deal, we haven't even talked about. And that's Yohei. And he, you know, he made his first start earlier this year. We came away talking, I think, more or less. But, you know, the numbers didn't support. Like, it's not like you looked at the numbers and said, oh, wow, this guy's off the charts. You know, at the end of the day, you looked at the numbers. It was like, it wasn't that great of a performance. But the eye test left you more to desire. Like, I came away from that start liking what I saw. I wanted to see more of it. Well, you saw more of it, and the numbers lined up to the eye test. He actually came away on that start looking really good, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, geez, spot start, 5 scoreless innings, 1 hit. I mean, that's, I don't understand how you could want any more than that, right? No. Second start since coming over. Yeah, Miguel Yohei, he looked really good. He looks like he belongs. Like looks like the stuff is, like I said, I'm not quite understanding the stuff because it's not anything amazing whatsoever, but like he's trusting his stuff. He does have like some good looking breaking balls. That curveball of his is solid. Mm-hmm. Which I guess it's technically, it's a curveball. So he's got some good pitches that if when he's commanding them are basically unhittable. But yeah, the fastball, it's just not where I thought it was going to be, you know, when he came over. But hey, I mean, he's getting the job done.
And one thing I want to point out too, like the 5 innings that he pitched, it was only on 57 pitches also. Now, I'm okay. There was a lot of chatter. What's Shelton doing? What are they doing taking him out? I'm okay with it. I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world, especially again in this type of a season. He's coming into the spot start. The reason he made this spot start was you're managing innings and such. You know, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the fact for his sake, right? Like you're also managing his innings and his time pitches. But also I'm good with it for the mentality reason. It was 5, like you got through 5 innings. There were 5 good innings. You can get him out of this game feeling really good. Opposed, I'm not saying it's going to happen. And again, like he goes into 6th inning and maybe gets touched up and he walks away going, you know, now I'll get 2 mediocre starts. Like he comes away from this with a really, really good start. You got 4 innings from a bullpen. You know, you can afford it. I didn't mind that at all. Now, again, if this is 2024, might be a little bit different at that point in time, this conversation. But I think this year is more about, of course, managing your pitchers. That's what they're doing, you know. So I was cool with that. But we don't have the pitching Yinza on the show. But Tyler kept saying this time and time again. I mean, his biggest takeaway was the catcher never has to move his glove. Like, Yuri hits all of his spots.
Yeah, I mean, especially when it comes to the fastball, which he threw a lot of those. You know, I'm looking at his Statcast game log here and just like pulling up some of his pitches here. Yeah, I mean, he is hitting. It was Perez catching.
Yep.
He's hitting the glove every time, like the command of his pitches, and that's something that I mentioned after the first start. I was like, hey, this stuff, it's not overwhelming, right? Like, he's not going to overwhelm people with his fastball. And I was like, if you're going to have a 91 mile an hour fastball in the major leagues, you're going to have to be able to put it exactly where you want it, like all the time, or, you know, hitters are going to make you pay. Right. And that's what he did. That's what he did on that was Thursday, wasn't it?
Friday, I think.
Friday. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Thursday's the one they lost.
That's right. But no, I mean, if you just go, there's a pretty cool tool on Statcast on the game log. You can kind of see the last pitch of every bat. And yeah, he's just dots, just hitting the catcher's glove just every single time. Just impeccable command. It was fun to see. Because I said, that's pitching that you don't really see much anymore. Like, you don't see pitchers dominate hitters with command as much as they dominate hitters with stuff now, right?
Right.
It was kind of old school baseball, though, right?
The offense is throwback, and it's like, yeah, Yuri's a bit of a throwback as well, pitching wise. This team's straight out 1990.
Yeah, and I mean, it obviously still works. I mean, there are quite a few pitchers out there that do very well with underwhelming stuff. But yeah, his command of those pitches were just excellent. Like Tyler mentioned it quite a few times. I know he was tweeting about it. He was texting about it. He was absolutely right.
Tyler loves you, Hurry.
Yeah.
I know Tyler on Thursday we'll be talking all about him again, I'm sure.
Probably. But yeah, hitting the glove every time. It was good to see.
Yes. And by the way, no, so my bad. It was still Friday, but that's the game they lost. Thursday they did win. That was the Polanco walk-off, I believe, because that's when we went live. But regardless, yeah, so I do. I really enjoyed Yuri's start. So Mitch Keller had a really good start. Yuri had a really good start. I think something else we can talk about is Adam Frazier. Adam Frazier, he leads the NL in hits. He's actually third in baseball in hits, behind only, which is kind of funny, but Xander Bogaerts and J.D. Martinez, the same team, like the Red Sox, like what are they? They've come out of nowhere and just shown that they can play. But yeah, the two baseball leaders in hits are on the same team, Bogaerts and J.D. Martinez. But yes, but then right after that is Adam Frazier. Okay. So like Adam Frazier, I'm kind of perplexed with. Again, you like talk about like a little bit of a throwback. Tyler made this like statement in jest, I feel. But to me, I just feel like it's literally what Adam Frazier is doing. We talked about Adam Frazier, and Tyler came out and said, well, he realized in 2020 that he was hitting the ball too hard. So for 2021, he's hitting it just a little less hard. He's, you know, blooping it over a shortstop and third base getting those hits. But we're now, it's May 18th, Jim. This is still actually like a thing. It's happening. Is this literally like what Adam Frazier is doing? Like, has he just perfected the blue pit?
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost like you don't see it very much in baseball. You see it more in like slow pitch softball, you know, like slow pitch. I don't know how many people play slow pitch softball out there, but like, you know, you always run across, like there's the guys who just go up there and they mash, right?
Of course.
But then you see this like 50-year-old dude walk up and you're like, all right, let's see what this guy has. And this 50-year-old guy can just pepper and put the ball exactly where he wants every single time, right? Mm-hmm. Adam Frazier is the 50-year-old dude in softball who's just like walking up to the plate and he's like, you know what? I'm going to hit the ball right there and I'm going to get a single. And then I'm going to have somebody, you know, courtesy run for me. That's Adam Frazier.
Yeah, we could use that for Adam Frazier though as well too.
We could use the courtesy runner because I don't know what he's doing out on the bases. But no, that's him. He's the 50-year-old softball dude who just walks up and gets a single every single time. Like he's not trying to hit a home run. He's not trying to hit a double. He's not trying to do anything else other than just dink it over the third baseman's head. And it's incredible that it's working as well as it is.
I want to interject here something real quick too, because like this is the other part of like this anomaly of him. You say that, and like his approach, like you would imagine. Listen, okay, so StatCat numbers. He is 2% hard hit rate. He's 5% exit velocity. So you're right. You would imagine this guy is just this slapdick hitter who just is getting nothing but singles. But Jim, he's also third for doubles. He has the third most doubles, and he is second in triples. And this is a major league. Now the home run's not there. Mm-hmm. So like the thing is, like, that's also part of it, is he's hitting it so perfectly that power shows up in the box score. You know, it's not as if he's mashing to get these doubles. It's like it's so perfectly hit that he is able to leg out a double also.
Yeah.
And that's the other part. That's the beauty of this.
If you look at the doubles on his hit spray chart, most of his doubles actually travel less than his singles.
Yes.
like the doubles,
they're like
on
all
the sheet,
infield.
the doubles are all like exactly right behind the third base bag.
Right.
Like he'll, you know, that's where the doubles are at, or they're down the right field line. Like he's pulled a few doubles like right down the line.
And that's the thing. Like we are literally talking on the line. If you add up every one of his doubles, right, the distance from the foul line to where they hit, every one of his 13 doubles, I'll bet you it's 7 feet.
It's
except
insane.
For that, I mean, one in right center.
Yeah, there's one double deep to right center. There's one double looks like it was probably off the Clemente wall, but other than that, every other double is not hit far. Right? It's within like 200 feet of home plate. It's insane. Like, and I think on Sunday I tweeted it out. I was like, I don't know if I've ever seen a hitter perfect that little bloop over third base, you know, better than I've seen Frazier. It's impressive to see, because I mean obviously that's a skill, like that's hard to do. And
that's the thing, like 2 weeks into the season you can look at it like as a joking thing. I mean, it's just been a coincidence that, you know, like the 7 hits he got up to that point, you know, like 7 bloops, you know, that happened and such. But again, like it is May 18th. I feel there's enough sample size to throw coincidence out the door. I mean, you can't just be this lucky for this long. There has to be some skill. Like there has to be a certain approach. Mm-hmm. And he's doing it just so well. I don't know if he can keep this up, because it is kind of mind-boggling of what he is doing. But if this is truly his skill, like if this is something he like seriously worked on, I almost feel like the one home run he got, he was pissed off that he hit it. You know, like I feel like he was like, damn it, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing here. I screwed up.
Yeah. It kind of looked like he got jammed. You know, he moved his hands in. He was like, oh, I pulled it, but I hit it too far in the air. And that went
son of a
fence.
Bitch.
He hit it too hard.
Right.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, he's hitting .323 on the year now. He has 51 hits. Last year, he had 48 hits. So he's already cleared his hit total from last year. He's played in 19 less games.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, there's 53 less plate appearances. And he's already out hitting his totals from last year. So, yeah, it's impressive to see. I don't know if I've seen a hitter do this as well as Adam Frazier's doing right now.
And especially this day and age. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially that. So that's exactly where I'm at. And again, so, I mean, this year is going to be about, you know, these performances on the vets, hopefully for like trade value, and the performance in the young guys for development, right? And we're talking about Adam Frazier, like his storyline is how well can you perform so that way you can be out the door as soon as possible to give the Pirates some, you know, more prospects and such. He's doing all of that. I don't know what his value is going to be. You know, I'm not here saying he's going to get a top 100 prospect. I truly doubt it. But he's doing everything I think that Ben Charrington would want to see. You know, like Ben Charrington right now is just chomping at the bit. You know, he's got the Birdman meme going on. He's like, I got Adam Frazier. He's killing it right here. You know, teams apparently from John Heyman's point of view were, you know, all in and talking about Adam Frazier this offseason. That was coming off of a disastrous 2020 season. So at this point in time, again, like how could you not look at Adam Frazier and be as pleased as possible? And also like the guy's just simply not striking out. He's like, he's making contact with everything. Everything's making contact with, just bloops right over the infield, right before the outfield. It gets on base. The defense is not good. I get it. But overall, the numbers, I mean, he is the third best second baseman in baseball when you look at WAR.
That's crazy to think. Like, I haven't looked at the second base WAR leaders lately.
It goes Marcus Semien, Jake Cronenworth, and then Adam Frazier.
That's insane. Like, that is absolutely insane to me.
Sorry, DJ LeMahieu, you're ninth. Keep up with Adam Frazier.
Let's just do another trade with the Yankees. Frazier to the Yankees, and then steal a bunch more of their prospects.
It's worked out literally every time, I feel like, the Pirates trade with the Yankees. But no, I mean, to be realistic here, Adam Frazier is having a very, very fantastic season. He's getting on base. Like, he's walking a decent amount, 8.5%. He's not striking out. Like I said, he's hitting the ball. He's getting on base. He's doing a fantastic job at that.
He actually, now that I look a little farther in here, he is the highest weighted runs created plus of any second baseman. He is the best hitting second baseman in baseball, DiNardo.
There you go. Honestly, the second closest is Jose Altuve.
That's insane.
And Jose Altuve is like having a great season again this year too. So that puts perspective on it. Yeah. You're right, man.
That's
Marcus
crazy.
Semien with his 9 home runs. Get out of here. You are 12% worse than Adam Frazier.
And then let's not forget someone not too far behind. Josh Harrison actually is up there too.
Yes. Him and his 123.
Yeah.
I'm happy for Jay Hay.
Yeah. I like Jay Hay.
Yeah. But okay. So again, yes, Adam Frazier. He's having a fantastic season so far. He's doing everything he needs to do for Ben Charrington to get a return here. As much as I touted Adam Frazier can hit, right? As long as NS9 has been in existence, it's always been Adam Frazier can hit. It's time for him to go. it's sad, but it's time for him to go. So, you know, on your exit tour, he's doing what he needs to do to go. Next up, can we talk about Jacob Stallings also? Now, I know we differ talking about players that should be traded or not. I know you're more on board, and we had a little Twitter exchange about this too, that he's probably should stay unless they get blown away. I'm closer to, if it's a good trade, do it. But let's just talk about Jacob Stallings. We're talking about leaders, right? Jacob Stallings is, I just sent you this stuff this morning. I forget. Let me bring it up. He's what, the third or seventh?
Third. I think you said third.
So we're talking about total WAR. For this season, he is, that's what it was. For this season, he's the sixth ranked catcher in baseball as far as total WAR with a 1.1 WAR. But if you go back to 2020, okay, just show overall, this is just one season. It's still short sample to a degree. So if you go last season, it also included, which still is a short sample, to be honest. He is the seventh rated catcher in baseball. So overall, since 2020, he's the seventh. It goes JT Realmuto, Sal Perez, Will Smith, Wilson Contreras, which, by the way, Wilson Contreras has dominated everyone in games played also. So that's part of it. He has like 100 more plate appearances than literally almost like every catcher. Sean Murphy, Yasmani Grandal, and then Jacob Stallings. So like he's in that tier. And one thing I want to talk, because there was like a little bit of a comparison, if we're talking about trade, return, stuff like that, there was comparisons last year. And I think because of the way they bloomed, like their age, their control, there was comparisons like Austin Nola. And there was a lot of people on Twitter saying, well, if Austin Nola can get that return, the Pirates can get better than Jacob Stallings. I differed. But at this point in time, I can almost at least say it's equal to. And, you know, because right now it stands, since 2020, Jacob Stallings has been better than Austin Nola. Jacob Stallings has a 2.2 WAR since. Austin Nola a 1.9. Not a huge difference. They're close.
Yeah.
But so let's like kind of go back to last year. The Padres gave up a top 100 prospect in that deal. Now, he's not playing too well so far this year, but still, regardless, there was a top 100 prospect in that deal. Can Jacob Stallings truly net a decent return right now?
I think it's going to take the right trade partner. But so I think
Braves, because the Braves need all of our players. The Braves could use Adam Frazier. They could use Tyler Anderson and Jacob Stallings. So let's just package them all together to the Braves.
Yeah. I think it takes the right trade partner. I don't see why Stallings can't get a similar return to Nola. Now, the one thing we have to kind of maybe realizes were scouting websites and things like that higher on Taylor Trammell than major league teams typically are.
Totally get that.
I don't know. You know, I mean, scouts for the most part love Taylor Trammell, right? So that he's been a top prospect for a few years now. But then also he's been on three different teams, you know, by the time he was age 23. Right. So, you know, were these teams like, we've seen them and we're not really that impressed with them, so we'll use them as a trade chip, right? So I don't know. That could be it. He's only 23. So, I mean, he obviously has a ton of tools, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, not playing very well so far this year. He's not terrible, but he's basically been replacement level, essentially. He's striking out just a ton, but yes, it's showing some pop.
Yeah. I believe.
So it's like, okay, could you get one of those like lower end top 100 prospects for Jacob Stallings? And I actually think you could. I think you could. You know, if depending on the team, like if they need a catcher and they don't really have that option right now, I think you could get it. So again, it kind of goes back to my stance on him, where, I mean, Jacob Stallings isn't a free agent until 2025. Like, you don't have to trade him right now. You've got him for four more years.
Right.
Do you keep Stallings and run him out there as your catcher during the second part of this rebuild, and as the team's getting better and he's kind of that veteran presence that's been around a while? You know, that's something that you could do, especially with the lack of catching depth in this organization. You know, who else are you going to get to fill that role? Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of more on that. I feel like, in my opinion, if you're going to trade Jacob Stallings, it's got to be one of those trades where, like, once you see it, you're like, oh, they did well. You know, like one of those, like, you don't even have to think about it. It's like, if there's a Jacob Stallings trade, it needs to be one of those where you see the return and you just go, okay, they did really good. That's the only way I'm trading Jacob Stallings right now. It's like, if somebody comes in and they want to overwhelm me with a trade for Jacob Stallings, then I'm pulling the trigger. Otherwise, I'm holding on to him. I think he's a valuable asset to this team, not only now, but in the foreseeable future.
So, like, I can't argue. Like, I can't come up here and just call you an idiot, Jim. This is dumb. I totally understand that side, and I value that side. You know, it's not wrong what you're saying. It's not wrong. I think it's just two people with maybe a little more value on something else. Because if So if that trade came up, like a trade that I would say pull the trigger on, and they didn't, and they said the reason they didn't is because of your reasoning, I want to be pounding the table and say, Charrington, you screwed up. Like, okay, you know what? I understand it. But I guess where I'm at too is like, if that type of a deal were to come into place, you know, if it was like, hey, you know what? We'll give you a Taylor Trammell for Jacob Stallings. I'm like at the point where let's do it. Let's do it. I mean, it's a little bit different from Charrington's MO because Charrington has been more lower levels. You know, it's when the guys hit more of the upper levels and having those questions, it's a little more riskier. There's definitely risk involved. You know, and like as mentioned, like Trammell has not looked good in the major leagues yet so far. But I almost look at it also, not saying it's the same degree, but like another trade that happened, which wasn't similar in a sense, but you know, with that type of stuff, like you look at the skill set, you look at the tools and you liked it, but it never really put it together yet, was Jazz Chisholm. You know, and that's a player I didn't like. I feel like he kind of like fits that thing. Like he never, like Trammell never really had this outstanding minor league, but he's got the tools. And I felt like with Jazz Chisholm's kind of like the same thing. He's having a fantastic year this year. And I think that's the risk reward. Like you could maybe get it. Trammell, who so far has not looked good, and maybe he doesn't pan out. And that's the risk you run. But maybe it turns into a Jazz Chisholm. And now it's like, well, now, like, what if you had Jazz Chisholm on this team now for Jacob Stallings? That's the risk. But, like, that's the potential you might have here. You know, and you might be able to get this riskier player, but someone who could, again, really just put your club over that top for when you are trying to win. And, like, for me, I'm at the point, too, where it's like, if it's Michael Perez back there, it's Michael Perez back there. Like, he's still at least a good glove. I could care less how the bat plays. I could care less trying to win games in that sense. Michael Perez, to me, is good enough to handle the staff. He's good enough for this for now. He's good enough to be the lead man for the turnover. But now I got, I don't know, let it be Trammell. Let it be the fourth team he's on. You know, I'm going down the prospect list trying to find something comparable right now. Because I think, too, like, again, like the loss of last year's minor leagues, you don't really have those numbers to see and such. So I don't really know, like off the top of my head, like a good comp of that type of a player. But, you know, like to me, it's like the Trammell, Jazz Chisholm types, you know, like they're in the upper minors to a degree. They still haven't put it together, but like the Austin Nola trade, like if you were to get that type of a prospect back for Jacob Stallings, do you pull it? And I guess the difference is for me, I would say yes. For you, you would probably say no because you're not blown away. And both are right. I guess it just comes down to whatever Charrington decides what's best.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, he's the one running the team. So it's up to him there. But I think my thing is you bring up somebody like Jazz Chisholm, right? Let's talk about that, right? Like if you trade Jacob Stallings, right, and you're trading him for a guy who is, you know, former top prospect, still a top prospect, right? A top 100 guy, but you know, he's not
really falling.
But somebody who could obviously develop and take advantage of the tools that they clearly have, or somebody who could not, right? I feel like that's good example here of Chisholm and Trammell, right? So let's say you get that guy, and one turns into Chisholm, right? Who's performing very well, obviously.
Granted, still so far.
Yeah, so far. You still just, I mean, in order to get that, you still just gave up Jacob Stallings, who, again, is under team control for 4 more years. He's on pace for about a 4-win season right now. And if you look at, okay, can he maybe get a 4-win season? I don't know if he's going to be able to keep up these offensive statistics, but let's say those drop, right? You're still looking at, like, Jacob Stallings is basically a lock for 3 wins this year. Like, I mean, just an absolute lock. There's, as long as he stays healthy, Jacob Stallings is going to be a 3-win catcher this year, just like guaranteed.
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
You know, right? And even if you look at, okay, like, what's the absolute floor, right? I mean, in 2019, he played 71 games and he was 1.3 win, and he wasn't a good hitter, right? So let's say Jacob Stallings turns into his his floor, right? Let's say not 2019 is his floor, where he's like an 82 weighted runs created plus, but provides you great defense. You're still looking at a catcher over the course of a year who's giving you like 2.5, 3 wins.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. Yeah. That doesn't happen in baseball very often. And then if he's having a good offensive year, like last year, like not even good, but let's just say below average, then you're looking at, I mean, last year he would have been a 3-win catcher over the course of an entire season.
Yes.
This year you're looking at a guy who could potentially be a 4-win catcher this year, right? I just don't see why you give that up for someone who could maybe be that at a less premium position. You know, I mean, if Jazz Chisholm comes out and he becomes a 4-win player, then I think we can all say that Jazz Chisholm was a successful prospect, right? Like, that's what Jacob Stallings is doing right now. Like, he's doing what we would hope a Jazz Chisholm could do. So, and he's playing a more premium position. So I think that's why I'm on that mindset right now. You know, like, there aren't, like, you look at the catching position around baseball, and there aren't a lot of good catchers out there. Like, there just aren't. There's a few, and then there's a lot of just guys who kind of rotate in and out, and you know, a lot of teams don't really have a primary catcher. They just throw a couple guys back there every now and then and to catch the ball for that the pitchers throw, like, and if they hit, cool. Jacob Stallings has turned into a reliable everyday catcher who can provide you great defense. He doesn't suck at the plate. I mean, every once in a while he gives you sweet bat flip walk-off home runs too. So yeah, that's why I'm saying, like, you need to blow me away. You got to blow me away to move Jacob Stallings. Otherwise, you're giving up too much.
That's fair.
That's me. Yeah.
Again, you're not going to get a debate on this one bit or another.
No.
I'm not hard enough on my stance, but I think what the good thing about this is it's defining that Jacob Stallings is certainly a good catcher. I think it's proven to this point that he's more of a good catcher than he is not. Which is also really good, because I don't think any of us have been thinking about Jacob Stallings being anything great a couple years ago. Imagine that we were talking about top 100 prospects in return for Jacob Stallings. So he has shown, last year wasn't like an anomaly, you know, and of course this year the bat has played more. A lot more of it's come on walks, I feel. But regardless, you know, even if he is league average, he shows that he has definitely value. So I like
that. And it's crazy because, like, I mean, you mentioned we didn't expect this out of Jacob Stallings, right? I mean, how many times was Stallings, he was always that guy who was out of options, right? So he would be brought up in a DFA, I feel like, every other week.
He could have been on any team for free.
For 2 years, he was called up in DFA basically every other week. Like, it was insane. Any team could have had Jacob Stallings multiple times, and they didn't want him.
Kicking themselves now.
Yeah, they are.
All right. So let's move on. Let's get to the fun stuff. This has all been fun. This has been good stuff, Jim. But, the people, they want to hear about the minor leagues because they don't care about this major league team. We don't care about 2021. What's going to happen in 2023? So let's go ahead and get around down on the farm. Let's talk about these young prospects, Jim. It's been another fantastic week.
There's no hitter. The home run, the Altoona curve are just mashing the ball. It's insane. So, it's been fun.
I want to start.
Really, where to start?
I do. I want to start, and not with Contreras, even though today is Contreras Day. I want to start with this guy, mainly a little bit of a troll here, Bucko Mike, but Nick Gonzalez, the Pirates' number 2 prospect. And if you're looking at the future, this guy is written all over it. Like, this guy is going to be part of it. He's got to pan out, right? He's got to pan out, Jim, because we have too many shortstops, so he has to pan out. Nick Gonzalez is mashing. Just mashing. Right now, he is batting 302, 362 on base, slugging 581. In his 11 games, he has 6 doubles, 2 home runs.
Yeah, 160 weighted runs created plus. So he's definitely well out hitting his peers in high A ball. And yeah, I mean, the home runs, doubles, you like to see it. He's just doing everything that you would want to see him do at this point. He came over when we drafted, you know, the first thing that everybody saw was those offensive numbers. And I was like, okay, how are those going to translate? And he is showing, again, it's 11 games, but he is showing so far that he can hit, right? Like that is his.
That's the next piece. He can hit.
Yeah. Like that is the thing that he does well, and he is doing it well right now.
Right.
So, he's doing everything we hoped he could be doing at this point.
I'm curious to see how long. And is it just too, I want to say young of a league, to look at the power and be shocked and say, you know, I wasn't expecting this type of power either? Or is that kind of on par right now?
I think that's on par. I mean, he led college baseball in home runs his junior year. So the power is there. I know there's some elevation.
I was gonna say, but also, yeah,
issues there. But I mean, that's still a real thing. Like even if he wasn't playing, you know, in the stratosphere, he still would have had some bombs there. He is the average age in his league is currently 23. He is a full 12 months younger than the average age in the high A Eastern League, whatever they call it now. He's below league average age wise. He is hitting the ball about 60% above average. That's just, I mean, everything you would hope to see so far this young season for Gonzalez has happened. I'm curious to see how long he stays in Greensboro.
Right.
It would be, I feel like this is a guy who could be on a somewhat of a fast track just from, you know, playing college ball and, excelling with the bat. Like if he can hit it, if he can demonstrate that he can hit at the level that he's at, then it's just time to move him to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, give him a little bit more time here, but yeah, I fully expect Gonzalez at some point this year to be in Altoona.
Oh, for sure. And I think that's absolutely legit. I mean, I do feel like it's not a requirement, but if things go right as they should, he's going to be in the majors next season, which he'd be 22. So you're absolutely correct. I feel like this year, how is he going to fast track? Like, how long is he going to stay down there? And if he's doing what he's doing here, almost like I feel like with Contreras, you know, he might be at the next level, maybe quicker than we expected. I'm liking everything so far. I see, or I should say more or less read from Nick Gonzalez. Well, the highlights I see from Nick Gonzalez and what I read and see of Nick Gonzalez. Good stuff from Nick Gonzalez here. We won't talk so much about Peguero. I guess the thing about talking about him versus sticking with shortstops is the fact that he hasn't played a whole lot. Injury. Said he was coming back, and he didn't. But he has started off with a good start. But I don't know. Do you want to now get to Contreras since Contreras Day and talk about him?
Yeah, we can get to Contreras. That sounds good.
I think he is the most exciting prospect in the minors for the Pirates this year so far. So far and so much that he's getting the attention, not just from us, not just from Pirates Twitter and these small accounts that are just like, oh my God, Contreras, you know? He's getting accounts from national people and guys that talk about scouting. So much that a lot of them are saying there's some real stuff to this. They fully believe it. He's probably going to get a jump sooner than later in the, you know, the value, which would put him at a top 100 type prospect.
Yeah, there's been multiple people over the last week who have said, you know, the excitement for Contreras is real. Move him up the prospect boards. Like if they were like to update prospect boards right now, which they don't, you know, until later in the year, but they have basically all admitted that he's too low. and that like this is real. He should be higher. And it's just awesome to see this. Like so we talked about that Yankees trade. It's looking so good. Like so good. And Contreras he's just, yeah, it's exciting. Like, I actually am, like, I'm looking forward to putting the Altoona game on tonight and watching him. So, right. That's pretty cool. He is, I saw this the other day, like we joked about how, you know, how much longer can you keep this guy in Double A? Like, he's just, first off, I mean, he's just embarrassing all these hitters. It's like, at what point do you move him to Triple A? He's the fourth youngest pitcher in all of Double A right now. So that's another thing that's exciting. Like, he's doing this, and he is, like, he's advanced already, like, for his age. So He is a special talent, fourth youngest pitcher in Double A, and he's just absolutely dominating these guys. I'm excited to see another start from him, because the first two have been amazing.
You can't ask for much better. Like, there's nothing that you could look at him right now and say, yeah, it was good, but. I mean, you just walk away from this, like, just blown away, you know?
Yeah, there's no buts.
What no else, but on this one. What else can he show? And yes, it has been two starts. So, of course, you know, that's why he's still down there. But I'm with you. Like, so far what he's doing, that's exactly, like, we're talking about fast pace or fast track. Like, if he's doing this in Double A, you can't keep him there. There's no challenge. That's how he looks. He doesn't look challenged at all. This is easy peasy stuff. This is Double A we're talking about. This isn't Low A. This is Double A. There's still There's skill there. There is talent in Double A.
Yeah, I mean, he has 22 strikeouts in 11 innings. It's crazy, like, just insane.
Yes, I cannot wait to see this kid get to hit the Triple A in Indy.
Yeah.
But I'm with you.
And I think we're looking at, like, I think you got to give him some time in Double A, but like, I mean, if he goes out again and just, like, continues these starts where he's striking out two batters an inning and not giving up any hits or runs, then I don't know how much longer you can actually keep him down there.
And I'm not sure. I mean, you can't, there's no way he's going to keep this pace up. I mean, right? Like, he can't do this every start, or is he? But I'm with you too. Like, I feel like, okay, we'll he's going to, like, look like a human, I'm sure, maybe in a few starts. So, like, maybe he's down there for half the season, he comes up or something. But I don't know, man. Like, This kid looks special. We just talked about Yuhari and how he looks like he belongs, right? In the majors and such. And right, like, the thing about Contreras was he was, like, just like this afterthought. He wasn't anything special in this trade. But now he comes over, and now he's showing this. And, like, to the tune of a lot of the people that talked about the prospects, right, these scouts and the people that read about him, is the fact, like, his fastball. Like, where did this fastball come from? Had I known he had this fastball, maybe would have rated him higher, you know, but it wasn't there before. And now, like, this fastball is just here. So this was the kid who was, like, fourth exciting prospect. And now, to me, he's, like, the most exciting prospect in the Pirates system, right? Certainly of the Tyone trade. And that's not to take away from the Tyone trade, because every prospect in that right now is exciting. But this kid has taken it to a whole other level. He could be in the top 100 prospect list, you know, by midseason. And we still have these three others to talk about. But yes, I'm just so, so intrigued by this kid right now.
Yeah, I mean, he is somebody where every time he takes the mound, you want to know how he does. And I think what also is kind of exciting is, like you mentioned before, like, this isn't Low A ball, right? This isn't, he's not doing this against, like, 18-year-old kids. Like, he is in Double A. He's close. Like, he's actually pretty close. So, you know, out of all of our top prospects, you know, as far as, like, and I guess we're throwing Contreras in that loop now, even though most lists have him around 15.
Right.
He is like, he's the guy
our own
who's
list,
like,
right now.
Yeah,
Contreras, like, is number one in our hearts.
He's kind of that guy who's, like, knocking on the door the loudest. I mean, it's not out of the range of possibility that Contreras makes his debut this year, right? I mean, if he's doing this in Double A, you call him up to Triple A, and then there's an injury or somebody needs a spot start. Like, Ronzi Contreras, you could see him in Pittsburgh this summer, I think.
You could. I think that's a bit of a stretch. Yeah. I'm not saying that in a negative way. I mean, like, It is, but theoretically, also, like you're saying, he's the fourth, you know, youngest. Like, he still is, like, he is 21. It's not as if he's like a 19 year old kid, you're just throwing him the majors. You know, he's 21. That's not outlandish for some type of prospect. If he's doing this in double A, you need a spot start. Maybe he gets two or three starts for Pittsburgh. Like, I could definitely see that. You know, they're clearly managing. You know, that's what Yohure's doing. I like that, by the way, just to throw that in there. I like what they're doing with Yohure. If he's not staying in the rotation, but he's getting these spot starts, you're managing, that's how you're using Yohure. I'm cool with that. He's still getting his time up there. Probably see some time, you know, in AAA too, getting starts here and there. I'm good with that. But maybe Contreras is used for a spot start here and there. You know, you're doing so well here. You've been awarded this opportunity. You get to see major league pitching. You know, we're not going to keep you in the rotation. I'm not going to, air quotes, burn your service time, in other words. But we'll give you a start here or there. See what you can do. Get your taste now, you know? I don't think that's out of the realm at all.
Yeah, I mean, and he's on the 40-man roster, which is another, makes it a little bit easier to bring him up and send him down if you need to.
Right. So I'm with you. I think it could happen.
God. Yeah, I think it could definitely happen. That would be exciting, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God, yes. Who's next on the list? Who do you want to talk about here?
Let's talk about Travis Swaggerty again.
Okay.
I mean, with the Pirates outfield situation right now, it's bad. we didn't even talk last night. There, you know, people were up in arms about designating 2-for-18 Troy Stokes Jr., but here we are. Yeah. Troy Stokes Jr. is designated. Yeah, so the Pirates, I think, are now on outfielder. I think if this whoever they got yesterday, I don't even know his name, it's not even really worth remembering because he's only going to be on the team for a week, probably.
But, is it Ildemaro Vargas? Ildemaro, I think. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. So this Ildemaro. Vargas guy, right? Vargas is going to be the new outfielder of the week. It's just one of those. I think if he starts a game, it'll be the 12th outfielder used by the Pirates this year, which is just absolutely incredible to me that we haven't even played 40 games yet. And
it's May 18th.
We're at 12 outfielders used. And so Swaggerty's that guy who, you know, you want to be able to stop this just kind of carousel that's happening in the outfield and maybe find somebody who could lock down the position a little bit. I know he hit another home run over the weekend. And what's cool about that is he didn't do it just off some scrub either. Like, he hit it off Matt Manning, who is the Tigers' either top pitching prospect or number two pitching prospect, but he's a top 20 prospect in all of baseball, right? And he's right up there with, you know, like Casey Mize, right, with and Skubal, you know, when it comes to the Tigers pitching prospects. So he did it off a legit arm, went oppo taco with it. He's having a good approach. He's cooled down a little bit, you know, as far as, you know, the hit department goes since that first week of the year.
Yep.
But still getting on base. He's walking a lot. And like I said, you like to see the pop too. The pop is nice to see.
Yeah. It's now normalized a bit. You know, it wasn't like the first game where, like, what was the first pitch you saw was a home run, I believe, or something like that. But he's cooled off a bit. But, right, he's not striking out a ton. He is walking. He's getting stolen bases. The power's there. So, I mean, everything so far, his point is, it's kind of what you want to see. Of course, you'd rather see the average up there and such. But for a guy who I was almost writing off, like, to me, this is like the Trammell Chisholm Swaggerty was like in that role where he was a top prospect. He's fallen down, I think, a lot farther than them. He didn't have the tools they had to begin with. But he made the jump to AAA. You heard a lot of stuff, you know, in the background about him. So you wanted to see it. And so far, it's okay. I'm cool with it. But I do believe, truly believe, that he'll be in Pittsburgh this summer at some point. But he still needs his AAA reps for sure.
Yeah, he definitely needs some AAA time, but I feel like just with everything happening, like at some point, he's just they're going to have to just call on him at some point. Like,
Go ahead.
I mean, hopefully, it's one of those where he's like banging down the door and they call him up and he's here to stay, and then we're good, right?
I hope he's forcing their hand opposed to, well, let's just do it. Right.
Well, I mean, we could just do it right now with how things are going. I would much rather see Swaggerty up there than Vargas or Gamble or Stokes or literally just pick a name out of the hat that they pick up off the waiver wire. I don't know.
Whoever's going to be next week.
Who are these people? Yeah, I don't know. Kai Tom, you know, these are just guys, right? I'd rather see Swaggerty up there, but I also get that the guy hasn't played above high A ball either. So
right, that's maybe
give him a little bit of time.
Yep. Real quick, just on top notes, I guess Cody Bolton is going to be out for the season now. That's a little bit of a Debbie Downer. There's definitely a guy that I think a lot of us were hoping to watch pitch this year as well. Won't get to see that, unfortunately. Who's next on the list? Who do you want to talk about here? We can go kind of quicker on this. I guess just real quick, Mason Martin showing
big boy power. I was gonna say Mason Martin. Someone who obviously hit for a ton of power in the lower levels. He's now hitting the ball really well in Double-A, which is good to see. Still striking out quite a bit, but that seems to just be the case for a lot of people. No, he's having a good start to his Double-A, which again, we talked earlier in the show about the Pirates' just complete lack of power, you know, at the major league level. When it comes to the minor league level, this is definitely one of those guys where, you know, he's got the power, right? The power tool is there. It is real.
Sorry, I'm just making me think of the Thundercats. I have the power. Not to age myself. Go ahead.
That is his thing that he does well, right? Is hit for power, and he is off to a good start in Double-A. So you like to see that. I have a feeling that, like, he'll be in Double-A a while, but we'll see. Yeah.
True. I do truly believe everyone we talked about so far has been like the highlights of the minors right now. Mm-hmm. We already talked about Contreras. I feel like after that, it's like Kanan Smith, Ngigba.
Yeah.
I believe
another guy from the non Smith and Ngigba.
Yes. That.
Yeah. This another guy in the Yankees trade. Yeah.
He's a bowling ball. I said it when I saw him in spring training. Like, he reminds me, he's like Maurice Jones-Drew with a bat.
Yeah. It's a good way to put it. Yeah.
And man, again, we're talking about some big boy power. He showed it as well. But he's not really that big of a boy.
Yeah, the videos that of him in Double-A all look good too. So he's him and Mason Martin have been kind of identical stat line wise. It looks like Smith and Jigba is drawing a ton of walks too. He's got an 18% walk rate. He's also not striking out very much. So he's making contact. He's hitting the ball hard. He's getting on base. He's a .421 on base percentage so far through the first 10 games of the year. So when he came over from the Yankees, I think, you know, the scouting reports were like, this guy can hit. Like, his hit tool is very good. But he's now showing the power. He can show he can get on base. Yeah, nice. This is looking like a good, solid acquisition. I mean, basically, you're looking at a right fielder. But I like what I see out of him.
Mm-hmm. There's been nothing to walk. Again, like, so far, there's nothing where, as you say, well, but.
Yeah, everything he's doing he's doing well right now.
I mean, slugging 633, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, I mean, two home runs, four doubles in 10 games. And like I said, the walks, he's got 8 walks in 10 games. Mm-hmm. Got 18% walk rate.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
And then, like, Andy Rodriguez, another one. Like, I know he's a catcher. We don't know if he's the catcher of the future. You know, we were kind of, like, baffled on that deal. Why, you know, why they even do that? Keep Lucchesi. And Lucchesi looks terrible for the Mets still, again. We're going to keep saying this, though, I think, every week. And Rodriguez just looks really, really good so far. There was, like, nothing on him as well. Again, with that lost season and how young he is, it was like literally nothing. Like, you had no idea what you're getting in Andy Rodriguez. Still very young, but again, like you talk about him with his 10 games, three doubles, two home runs. I mean, all these guys are getting their share of home runs to a degree. And yeah, five walks, eight walks, eight strikeouts, batting .325, slugging .550. This is a catcher, potentially.
Yeah. No, he's again, like all of these guys that have been acquired, they're panning out, at least in the early parts of this season. With the complete lack of catching depth in this system that we have, it's nice to see Andy come in and just do this. The power looks real, like especially from the left side of the plate. He's the highlights that I've seen, like his swing, he's got a pretty left-handed swing. And yeah, ball's flying. I don't know how much of that is with Bradenton and the wind. That ballpark can sometimes be weird, but he looks good. Again, another guy getting on base, like all these guys we're talking about have on base percentages over 400 and they're all slugging 550 or up. So it's crazy what's going on right now. Like they're hitting the ball hard. They're getting on base. They're crushing. It's just great to see it. Like we went all this time without seeing these guys and now we are. And Andy Rodriguez looks like a good kind of sleeper pickup there that they got.
And that's just it. Like, I just feel like the talk of the trade returns is just that. Like every prospect, every single one so far, you have nothing but good things to say. I don't know how long it's going to hold up for, you know? I mean, it's just 2 weeks we keep saying it, but like so far, it seems like every single prospect, you know, there's a lot of return. There's a lot that came back in a return. You know, you feel some are going to hit, some are going to miss. So far, what we're talking, it's literally all hits. And that's what's so exciting about it. And it's very good hits. Again, like we have a Contreras Day right now. He was it's a guy. And now there's a Contreras Day there's a day named after him. So I'm just so excited over the minor leagues and these returns to date. Who else? Is there anyone else you wanted to mention and talk about so far? Had a big week?
I think we covered most of it there. There's some other guys too where, you know, they haven't gotten a ton of hype, you know, over the off season, but you know, like Michael Burrows comes to mind as someone who maybe just, you know, put him on your radar a little bit. He has started two games for Greensboro, eight scoreless innings
also
with really 15 games. Strikeouts, only one hit allowed, one hit and one walk. He's given up two base runners in his two starts with 15 strikeouts. So there's another guy who like hasn't really gotten the hype, but has looked very good. So like, you've got these pitching prospects who they seem to be developing nicely. And just there's quite a few of them to just kind of follow and kind of see how they do going through this year.
True. And I guess a couple things of note as well. Jose Soriano, who was picked up in the Rule 5 draft, set to not debut for the major leagues, but probably come back on a assignment soon. Well, I guess he'd have to be major. Well, he can go through an assignment first, right?
He can do a minor league assignment.
Yeah, he has 30 days. Yeah. So he's set to return soon. And speaking of returns, Brennan Malone made his debut as well, one inning pitched. So he's back in the spotlight, the Pirates number 8 prospect, also in the Starling Marte deal. So
was part of that no hitter, combined no hitter for Bradenton.
Part of that no hitter, right? Brennan what a Malone debut! They needed was Brennan Malone for their entire existence. Yeah.
Apparently, he had a blister, so that's what kind of caused the delay to the start of his season. But
yeah. All right, cool. I guess so. Real quick before we do leave, Hudson Head, I guess, would be the only prospect that in the return you're looking at saying, I don't know. That's the type. Hudson Head's the perfect, like we're talking about Trammell and all them, like he is that type. I don't know if I would put him on that level so far. I wouldn't want a Hudson Head return for a Jacob Stallings at this point, but that's a good example of one. There's definitely a lot of skill sets involved, but I don't know how he's
going to work. Definitely still like a lower level guy who like hasn't demonstrated it yet, but all the tools are there. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, those are players I like picking up. Like, I'm really happy Hudson Head is in the system, and it's obviously still super early.
Yes.
But he hasn't had the best start to the year. So just another guy to kind of keep an eye on, see how he bounces back.
Yeah. You don't want to see that many strikeouts in Bradenton, but so far there has been, but again, it's still young. We'll give him time. There's enough positive on the rest that I'm okay if Hudson Head's struggling right now.
Yeah. Like, if that's the worst of our worries,
yes,
we're in a good spot.
All right. So, anything else you want to say before we wrap it up? We have been on here for a while.
Yeah, we've been on here a while. Probably need to go.
All right. So, we'll talk to you guys Thursday. See you later. Bye-bye.
See ya.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.